Which, so like, if your theory is if there's higher turnout, our candidate has a better chance, and if more people are aware there's election, there will be a higher turnout, then you want a lot of lawn signs to remind people that, you know, there's an election coming up. But to the extent that, like, you're going to drive past, like, 10 Ralph Northam lawn signs on your way to work and, like, subtly be influenced to choose Northam when you vote, I think it's kind of dubious. But it's also nice in that, like, it gets your, like, field and your, like, the area surrounding your campaign office, like, enthused about your campaign. If, like, people come and they're like, I want a lawn sign, you're like, here you go, then, you know, that person you can convince to maybe volunteer for you a little bit more.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's more of like a soft thing than a measurable thing.
Brings awareness, I guess. Yeah. So when you're calling people for this person, how many people do you talk to, like, an hour, do you think? And how long do you do it in a day?
It depends. It depends on your conversion rate, on like how many people actually pick up. Over the summer it was terrible. It's like 10%.
Oh, 10% people would answer the phone?
Yeah, it's really bad.
Wow.
Which, like, I think smart field programs really move away from just like cold calling. But I mean, I don't know to what extent Ralph Northam's campaign is going to do that. Or like, you target people that you know that, like, you really need to reach out to.
You must talk to so many people. Like,
I mean, like, the field organizers, like, the people that were hired that weren't me over the summer, I think had to do, like, 120 calls a day, maybe a little bit more.
That's crazy. Like,
which is, like, not a ton. It gets a lot higher as you move closer to the election.
I wonder if I've ever spoken to 100 strangers in a week. Like, probably not.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, you get a higher conversion rate on doors.
Yeah.
But that takes longer. And not everyone wants to do it. You get more people that want to make calls than knock on doors.
I've did phone calls once for a mayoral campaign in Salt Lake.
It's fun.
For a little while. It was just like, I mean, it was really stressful because I was like 15 and like didn't know what I was doing.
Oh, yeah.
But I met the mayor guy. It was like, wow, he's such a good handshake. Like,
yeah. It's hard because if it's like not an area that you're familiar with, if you're like calling.
Yeah, if like brand new to it and like.
Yeah, or like Virginia. Like, I'm not from Virginia, so it's a little weird to like call a bunch of people and ask them to like make a decision that I have no vested interest in.
Do they ask you where you're from sometimes? Or
yeah, my strategy is I like to get a Google Voice number with the area code that I'm calling into,
huh?
And then I'll use that. Because I have like a Maryland area code, which isn't terrible.
Yeah.
And that works, like, the closer to DC you get, the farther away, the less people are going to pick up a 301 number. So I try to get a
local. Do you think about all this stuff, huh?
Yeah, I think it works, getting a Google Voice number.
Is your favorite part about politics campaigns?
No.
What's your favorite part about politics? Making different people's lives? Or policy? Or what do you like most about it? Why are you doing it?
Yeah, the success stories when, like, you... Like, politics are just... I mean, politics in general is a means to an end. And campaigns are definitely a means to an end.
Mm-hmm.
Like, nobody wants to be... Nobody who's running for office likes campaigning.
Some people do. Like, I think our president really likes campaigning.
Oh, yeah, but he's a bad politician.
Yeah, but he's, like, he enjoys campaigning. Like,
I think... So, like, I think there's a pretty good relationship between, like, how much you hate campaigning and how much you love the more substantive aspects of the political system. So, like... Barack Obama hates campaigning.
Yeah.
But, like, he's really good at the, you know, the substantive parts.
He knew his policy really well.
Yeah. I think, like, I enjoy campaigning for, like, the consequences of it. Like, it to me, it's, like, all really important. Like, calling somebody on the phone and, like, asking them, what issue do you most care about? Or, like, who are you supporting for governor? It's all, like, it all matters. It's all really important. And, like, I like how... I don't know, I like the consequences that come with it. They're like, okay, like, if Ralph Northam doesn't win against Ed Gillespie in November, like, that's a serious setback for people in Virginia, because the House of if that happens, the House of Delegates is likely to also stay Republican. And, like, they've been pushing a lot of anti-choice stuff and a lot of, like, anti-women's health legislation that Terry McAuliffe has vetoed. And, like, that also means that, you know, all the former felons in Virginia aren't going to get their voting rights restored. And, you know, all these other bad things are going to happen.
Yeah.
So, like, that doesn't mean that, like, I love campaigning because like it's hard and it's a lot of work and like people constantly poop on you.
Do they poop on you?
Yeah, like people like yell at you when you call them. But it all matters and it's all really important. And so like that's what I enjoy about it. It's like it counts in.
Do you think this is the most effective way for you to cause these consequences?
I don't know. That's sort of a tough question to ask me at 22 years old.
Is that why you're doing it, though? Because you think it's the best way for you right now?
Yeah, probably. I mean, with my limited experience, I've sort of been going back and forth between, like, deciding whether or not I want to, like, go further into campaigns and communication stuff. Like, I'm not, like, a field person. Mm-hmm. The part of campaigns that I really like are the more soft, like communications, media strategy, messaging, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. Like the actual writing part is what I really like, not the talking to people part.
Okay. Sweet.
So, I mean, field is like a means to an end, and communications is another means to a more important end. So, like, I've been vacillating between like wanting to pursue campaigns more or just like spend 10 years in a think tank.
Well, what do you do in a think tank? Like, you'd analyze data, then, like...
Yeah, just, like, work on policy. And then, like, parlay that into
an influential
policy job in government.
A policy job?
Like, instead of working on housing policy in a think tank, work on housing policy for someone that actually influences housing policy.
Oh, you'd be, like, in this governor's housing policy person.
Yeah, exactly.
You're like, oh, actually, I know that this system works best, and you should have the sidewalks this big.
Yeah.
And, like... You want public parks, but like only this size, and like.
Well, that's like urban planning.
Okay, you want houses that are houses that are this size.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, I'm sorry, Medford. That was a very interesting conversation with my guest, Grant Fox. Thank you for tuning in to the Politics Discussion Hour.
We did a lot of not music. I mean, I hope you enjoyed the Fractal Fantasy Boiler Room underneath.
Yeah, that was pretty fun. That was like a really. It was good to have it at a low volume. I'm talking over stuff.
Real quick, let's do a series of hot takes from you because I feel like I've been talking a lot.
Yeah, I'm ready.
We're also way over time, but also no one's coming in. And this is our second to last show.
I feel
so
like
who
no
cares?
One else is gonna come in for the next couple hours because it's finals and all that stuff. All
right, hold on.
Let's hear some hot takes. Yeah, I've been interviewing you this whole time.
Yeah, let me get your opinion on a bunch of things. We'll do 30 second hot takes for.
Welcome to the hot take minute.
The hot take minute. All right. Ready? I have to think of things on the fly.
All right. Glasses off, unfiltered.
Mask off, unfiltered. Ooh, that's not good.
I see your power cord dripping.
Oh, no.
What's going on?
I think my computer just turned off.
Oh, no. Do we use the phone or my computer or...
Hold on.
What do you need the computer for?
Well, I wanted it to be on, but also I think my power cord is kaput.
Oh, shoot. We're experiencing technical difficulties here on Rap Radio R. We'll be right back.
I was hoping there would be another charger.
You usually are, right?
That works.
Is there one in the cupboard underneath? Okay, well, my hot take so far is that computers shouldn't need batteries or shouldn't need charging. They should just be nuclear powered. You know how they have satellites and the Mars rovers and all that? They run off either solar power or they have like a plutonium battery.
Yeah.
I think plutonium isn't that dangerous. I guess the problem is that the lead required to keep you safe is pretty heavy. And you wouldn't get really like...
Yeah, that would make your computer pretty heavy.
I've changed my mind on that hot take.
All right, here we go. I'll try to... I'm trying to think of two so that when you answer one, I can think of the next.
Okay, yeah. You got to have this all written down ahead of time.
We can
play something in the background if you can. Or.
All right, ready?
How much time do I have?
You have 30 seconds, so we'll wait until it gets to 3:10.
Okay. Also, this is 91.5 Bedford.
Test Reform Radio.
Yeah. Ready? City?
Go. Tufts Leaks.
Oh, I think it's really interesting. I'm amazed that that it happened at all. Probably some CS student, probably some disgruntled professor somewhere leaking all the information. It's been really interesting to see who pays more, who gets more in which department. I think it's funny that there's so many concerns about who leaked it, who did it. There's a lot of like, not about the actual information that's out there. I think freedom of information is important, and I think this only hurts Tufts. It doesn't hurt the students or the professors. It makes everything more fair for people involved. Let's go.
The American Healthcare Act.
Oh, well, I think it's bad, obviously. Everyone dislikes it. I can't believe they passed it. They also want to win. I think long-term is going to hurt everyone, especially Republicans, for passing such a crappy bill. But I guess they did it because they wanted to say, look, we did something and it was close to the first 100 days. We're effective. We are no longer the party of no or the party of we'll do anything just to make something happen. But it's going to have undeniable consequences. Let's see what happens in the Senate.
Jumbo smash.
Woo, woo. It's coming out soon. I'm going to be first in line. I saw a preview of the app a few days ago. An illegal preview. Well, not illegal, but like I'm not going to say who showed it to me. But it looks good. It looks exciting. It looks like a lot like Tinder, but I guess only for seniors. I don't know if they're going to do it for just seniors. I guess maybe IDs and have a list. I heard it's on the e-list is the same list that Senior Bar Evening was sent out on. So, yeah.
Oof. Oh, those were three. I was on a roll.
Yeah, they're good.
How about our baccalaureate speaker?
Oh, the guy, the writer of Blackish, right?
No, I was thinking of Isabella.
Oh, her. I know her vaguely. She seems nice. I don't know if she's a public speaker person. I don't know how they decided the people. I would not have spoken, obviously, but I would have at least submitted. Do you know her at all?
Only vaguely. She was on TCU, and she helped. She was like our budget representative when Melisma was doing our budget.
Did she seem qualified?
To do our budget or to speak both. For the class?
Was she competent?
Yeah, I think so.
Does she seem qualified to speak for the whole class?
I don't know.
I don't really know any. I don't think anyone knows everybody. So
yeah,
you can't really please everyone.
She wasn't my first choice.
Who was your first choice?
I wanted a.
Could you vote?
No. All right. Anyway,
who did you want?
I wanted Jonathan Moore.
I don't know who that is.
I think he's a little bit more exciting.
All I know is that Isabella is very small.
No, she's really tall.
What? Oh, I'm thinking of Isabella Marin. Okay.
Yeah, no.
My take is really hot.
It's the wrong person.
Who's speaking?
I don't know how to pronounce her last name.
What's the first name? Isabella...
K.
Cahale?
Yeah.
Oh, I've seen her on Facebook. I don't know who or what she is. You said I got an Instagram, by the way?
You got an Instagram?
Yeah, but I deleted the app because it was... A lot of notifications.
You still have two phones. All right, hold on. We got sidetracked.
Oh, yeah. More hot takes. My hot takes are getting into cold takes.
I really need to fix my Mac charger.
Yeah, you're kind of screwed in that.
I have another one.
Oh, okay, good.
So I have to get that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, hold on. We got another message from Chelsea.
Oh, okay. an audio update. Welcome back to the two-hour Rap Radio Hour special.
It's another audio update.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, it's Macron giving his address.
Oh, so he's accepting victory.
We missed that.
Yes. We broke the news in the U.S., What show is supposed to be on right now? Who are we subbing in for?
We're not subbing in for anybody because we're not logged in.
Oh.
Oh, so we're just...
We're going rogue.
Our pirate radio!
You know that there was a Haitian pirate radio station that was stealing 91.5's bandwidth?
No.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Like our 91.5?
Yeah, like right here.
I mean, darn it. Darn them. How dare they? We bring valuable content to the masses. And what do? They drag our name through the mud.
Okay, that's it. I need to go finish finals.
All right. Good luck, Medford.
We'll be back next week for the last.
The final.
Tune in. Rap Radio Hour.
Oh, that's so sad. I'm going to miss it.
Doctor, my eyes have seen the years and the slow parade of fears without crying. Now I want to understand. I have done all that I could to see the evil and the good without hiding. You must help me if you can. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what is wrong. Was I unwise to leave them open for so long? As I have wandered through this world, and as each moment has unfurled, I've been waiting to awaken from these dreams. People go just where they will. I never noticed them until I got this feeling that it's later than it seems. Doctor, my eyes, tell me what you see. I hear their cries. Just say if it's too late for me.
I'm Matt Kenseth. You don't have to be a race car driver to know that life can be full of drama. Some of it you can't control, like mechanical issues, high winds, and rain delays. But there's some drama you can skip.
Skip the drama that comes with not having your high school diploma or equivalency. Find free adult education classes near you and finish your diploma. Visit finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org.
You just need to take that first step and find free classes near you and leave the drama for the racetrack.
Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ed Council.
She's a deep forest green, I'm a midnight blue. There's no moon in the sky and that reminds me of you. I'm an open book that nobody can read. When we first met, you stole the breath right out of me. Now I'm wandering around with an anvil on my chest, replaying the mistakes and wishing I just left. All broken up and scattered. If we never met, I wouldn't feel so shattered. I wouldn't know your favorite color, and you wouldn't know mine. And maybe there'd be a few less tears in our eyes. We're both wandering around, trying to stay safe. We're both building new homes with a lot more empty space. Hey! Now
Well, hello, listeners. This is DJ Mellow Max taking over until 4 o'clock. We saw that there was nobody in the station, so I'm here. It's this is, let's see, what did I name this show? This show is called Sunday Evening Ought to Be Studying. So that's what we're doing here, and I'm joined by
Maddie
and Ian.
And Ian, Maddie and Ian.
And so, we ought to be studying.
Yes, we all ought to be studying. What a great word, right?
Ought. Yeah. Has a nice round, robust sound.
Very British.
British, yes.
Ought to be studying.
So let's start off with, that's a really long song. Say some other things, I'll find a shorter song.
Okay, here's a concept. I'm supposed to be studying for Spanish, but if we want to talk in a British accent, can I speak Spanish in a British accent?
Try it.
Yeah, like that's like...
Oh no, ¿cómo estás?
Oh, muy bien. Wait, that doesn't even sound...
Muy bien.
Oh, yes. Right.
Oh, no.
Si.
All right, let's play a song by Focus.
Focus.
Yeah. What we should all be doing right now.
What we ought to
do. Yeah.
Treasure in the sun. Sugar Island, Cuba, you lay there just for fun, with all your colors and your pals. A treasure in the sun.
Rain on trees, banging on trees, 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 rain on trees
Just Focus with Sugar Island. Now, Focus is a Dutch band formed in Amsterdam. They had some of you might have heard of the guitarist Jan Ackerman. He has a lot of really cool solo stuff. They're best known for their song Hocus Pocus, which has some rock yodeling. Just wild.
Wait, I think Ian should yodel.
That was a good call.
That's enough. Okay, yeah. Enough shenanigans.
But yeah, so that was Focus with Sugar Island, followed by Computer with Rain off their 2007 album Synthetique. Who knows? I think they're German, maybe. I don't know. They're in the same family as Kraftwerk, which is just excellent. And coming up next is a band, a recommendation from Ian, band called Justice. So without further ado, here's Justice.
belly full up on a belly empty, them starving. On a bad day up, on a bad night, they you them under warning. Rubbing them eyes, feet, check delusion in a morning. Them wonder, put them up and out, with them up and out, with them calling them. Them are the future, see them running out of time. They want to find an answer in a crime. Oh, na na na. No matter we caught up, all of we set up on me mind. We seek redemption here, be my generation mind. And I wonder, where do I belong? Been looking for a place for too long. And when them are home, yeah, we run out of town. A simple man, I never wear a crown. Again, I wonder, where do I belong? Been looking for a place for too long. And when them are home, yeah, we run out of town. A simple man, I never wear a crown. Mommy said everybody come figure out permission for demand it. Nobody not think about if them absolutely want it. Better man no say, whether man no say love it or despise it. Mostly we will never overstand or recognize it. I love to hear them apology for fight. Every part of me, every part of me, every single chance I see. Only bad trouble coming back and make me sad. Sometimes I can't run. And I wonder, where do I belong? Been looking for a place for too long. And when them are come, yeah, we run out of town. A simple man, I never wear a crown. Again, I wonder, where do I belong? Been looking for a place for too long. And where them are come, yeah, we run out of town. A simple man, I never wear a crown. Well, I beg you to stop every rumor from your new life. Oh, you not speak, oh. I break away the barriers and chase away fears. Every possible pollution on Jews and East. I know we no one, no devil alone. 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 And I wonder, where do I belong? Been looking for a place for too long. And where am I from? Yeah, we wrote a talk. A simple man, I never wear a crown again. And I wonder, where do I belong? Been looking for a place for too long.
Hello again, everyone. This is Mellow Max, and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. So we just had Justice with their song Genesis, and then Infected Mushroom with their song Where Do I Belong? I saw Infected Mushroom in concert a weekend or two ago. That was pretty cool. That was a lot of wubs. A very interesting group of people there to see that concert.
Oh, yeah.
Including you.
I don't know. It was quite the experience.
Lots of beards?
Lots of beards. And then, like, there were, like, shirtless guys in spandex with, like, face paint and tails.
Wow. Tails?
Yeah.
Like furry tails or, like, reptilian tails?
Like furry tails.
Okay.
And then, like, there were the people who looked like they just, like, rolled out of, like, their parents' house, and, like they just left their parents' basement for the first time in 2 weeks, and they'd been playing Dungeons and Dragons, like, 75% of the time.
You can still see the Cheetos around their mouths.
Yeah. And then there were also, like, just, there was a lot of, like, just trashy-looking individuals.
Yeah. Dude, that's
but it was
best.
An excellent concert, and it was just, like, fascinating. Just, yeah. Like, It was fascinating for the people watching alone. Infected Mushrooms, an Israeli band. They're one of the most commercially successful groups to come out of Israel. And they're well known for their dubstep, but they also have some really cool psytrance. It's just a pretty cool all-around band. Yeah.
Yeah, I went to a weird concert like that where I was just surrounded by interesting characters. It was a guy called Hoochie.
Like, oh, I've heard of Hoochie.
Yeah, he's like a trap producer. I was in, like, this, like, small venue in Chicago, just surrounded by, like, kind of like 30-year-old dudes who were just like all like lots of dreads, like, but like white people dreads, and like it was just a very strange atmosphere considering I was like the youngest.
Were you
and
alone?
No, I was with some coworkers, but all of us were like very out of place. Very out of place.
Yeah, I have a friend back home who's in a new age metal jazz band. They're really good, but they get the strangest crowd, and everyone just rips their shirts off and screams. And at the Christmas show, he told a 20-minute story about like an elf who like fucked Santa. I mean, it's just this whole thing.
That's wild. what a story. So
I did that once.
What? Ian?
Yeah. No, but just guess which part of it it was, of that story that I did. The Santa part, of course.
Oh, yeah. Santa's great.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Oh, yeah. He's a good lover.
Oh.
How else do you think, how do you think he keeps Ms. Claus up there? Like, it's cold, it's cold. Disgusting. She doesn't have any friends. She can't go shopping. It's the North Pole. Like, what's there to do other than make love to your big red jolly husband?
There are so many stereotypes there. Let's unpack this.
Yeah, that was really not PC.
That was not PC.
Yeah.
For that, we are sorry.
Or, I mean, like, not even that. Like, there's just nothing to do at the North Pole, period. No it's matter true. What gender you are. Or whatever, like, however you self-identify,
there's
you are going
to
be
do,
bored
regardless.
At the North Pole.
Boredom will ensue.
That's true.
Unless you can make crazy, crazy love to your big red jolly husband, Mr. Claus. And on that note, here is Son of a Preacher Man.
As we continue with my portion of the show, we do hope you like us. Billy Ray was a preacher's son. When his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered round and started talking, thank you. And some Billy would take me walking. Through the backyard we'd go walking. When he looked into my eyes, Lord knows to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only one who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. Yes, he was. He was. He was. How? Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I try. Cause when he start talking sweet talk to me, come and tell me everything is